So praise the Lord. Well, today I want you to open your book or your Bible, your book. If does everyone have a Bible, have a book? If you don't have a Bible or a book, we have some up here so that you can follow along. Does anybody need a Bible? All right. I want you to open up to Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And we're going to start there today. We have a long reading today. So chapter 12, Mark 12, verse 41. We're going to read through the end of chapter 13. So it's going to be a long reading. So bear with me. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself, and he said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor woman has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had, her whole livelihood." Then as they went out to the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, see what manner of stones and what beautiful buildings are here." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled?" And Jesus answered them and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. There are the beginnings of the sorrows. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to council, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings, and for my sake, for a testimony to them. For the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. And when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his children, and children will rise against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter. For in those days there will be tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless the Lord had shortened these days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'Look, he is there,' do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show signs of wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed, see, I have told you all these beforehand. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars of heaven will fall and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great glory and power. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happen, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed and watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going on a journey to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he will find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. This is it was a long scripture for you, but there's a lot of things in here that we, you know, not too often do we look at them, but I think it's important for us to see and hear and read these scriptures. Sometimes we shy away from these scriptures in fear, but I think that these are scriptures that we need to read and look at. Now, you're probably wondering what 12:41 through 44 had to do with this. But what was happening here was that Jesus was sitting at the temple watching them put the money in. And he was telling them, you know, the rich people put a lot of money in, and the widow put all that she had. And we always preach on that scripture, and that's good. But as they were leaving the temple, the disciples looked at Jesus and they said, but Jesus, the rich people give money. And look at this beautiful building that all the money that they have given has built. And they were more concerned about the beauty of the building and how much the rich people had given to build these buildings. And then Jesus said, but this building is not going to last. But his point here, I believe, was take heed that no one deceives you. And because sometimes we get our eyes on the wrong things. And even the disciples, I think, at this point, had their eyes on the wrong thing. And they were looking at the beautiful building, and I'm sure it was quite marvelous. And they knew that this building couldn't have been built if the rich people had not given the money. They knew that two mites was not going to build a beautiful building. But they had their eyes focused on the wrong thing. They had their eyes focused on the building and not what the building stood for. As we, you know, many times, you know, we get deceived. And that's a harsh word. But we get our focus off of the right things. And this is, as I read to you this scripture, the reason I read this through for you is because so many times we get our focus on the wrong thing. We don't keep our focus on the right thing. And we need to focus in on what Jesus is telling us. And he warns us three times in this scripture, don't be deceived. Because there's many things are going to happen. Many things have already happened, but many more things are going to happen that we could be deceived and confused and lose our way with him. And let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. I have a tremendous amount of scripture for you today. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, as you turn there, I'm going to read. It says, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle in both which I stir up your pure minds, but by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of words which were spoken before the holy prophets and the commandments of us and the apostles of the Lord Jesus. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know, we see this today, that there are scoffers. And scoffer is the one who mocks or shows contempt for. And I don't know if you're, I don't know how you could not be aware. But as Christians, we are losing more and more of our privileges today. And it's because there are scoffers in the world. There are those there, and those are in the world who mock and show contempt for God. And they walk according to their own lust, the scripture says. Because they want what they want, and they don't care. And, you know, God has this way of getting in your way when you want your own way. You know, we want to do it our way, but God has a way of just messing that up. And so, you know, they have to mock and scorn, and they don't want to deal with the sin in their life, and they're hoping that nothing will ever change, because when they say, he's not coming back, but they do this because they hope he's not coming back, you know. And I want to say to you today that your days are numbered, either by the grave or by rapture. If Jesus doesn't come back in the next 60 years, you know, I'm still going to have to see Jesus. I'm going to see him face to face one of these days. And like I said, it's either by grave or by rapture. You are going to see God. You're going to meet him. And so, you know, but people, they don't want to face the fact that things are changing and that sin is waxing worse, as the old King James, it's waxing worse and worse. It's getting worse and worse all the time. And because of that, many are being deceived. Many are being drawn away from the truth of what God is saying to us. And he even, you know, you think that the disciples walked with Jesus, that they wouldn't be deceived. But yet he says, take heed that no one deceives you. You know, all this money is great, but that's not where it's at, guys. And so we think, oh, the disciples, you know, and you hear people, I haven't heard for a long time, but people would say, oh, it'd be so wonderful to have walked with Jesus. I'm not sure that is really true for me. I mean, maybe it is for you, that would be all right, you know, but that doesn't give you a guarantee that you would do the right things. Because look at Judas, who walked with Jesus these 3 years, and yet he didn't do the right thing. He did the wrong thing. He did the very thing that he didn't want to do, and yet he was a scoffer. He was one who mocked and scoffed and had contempt for. You know, he was one who turned his back on Jesus, even though he walked with him. So for us to think we can't be deceived or that we've got it all together and we know exactly what's going on, take heed that no one deceives you. Take heed. We need to watch for ourselves. Let's look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. It says, now the Spirit explicitly speaks of the latter times, that how there will be those who depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Don't forget to pray over that food, over that pink slime when you eat it. not in Allegheny County, people. Thank God for his wisdom to Missy. Amen. Amen. But we still need to pray over that food, because all of it is not to be refused with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brother in these things, you will be good minister of Jesus, nourished in the word of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' tales, and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of life that is now and that is which is to come. You know, he's saying here that there will be some in the church who turn away from Christ. There are those who are going to come with deceiving and being deceived, who will turn those away from Christ. And when he's talking here about, you know, having your conscience seared and forbidding in marriage and abstaining from, he's talking to the church. Now, we can see this in the world, but I've heard people in the church talk about this stuff, you know, that you shouldn't eat this and you shouldn't do that, and maybe it's a good thing not to get married and so on and so forth. So we've got to be very careful about what you hear, what you pay attention to, and what you follow. Sometimes we hear this stuff, and that's, you know, you can hear it, but it's whether you decide to follow it or not is the key. We need to be very careful and watch ourselves not to follow after things that are wrong. Knowing the Word of God is very, very important. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, let me read those to you. And I'm going to read from the Living Bible. You may as well know this too, Timothy, that in the last days it's going to be very difficult to be a Christian. For many people will love only themselves and their money and be proud and boastful, sneering at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful to them. Thoroughly bad. They will be hard-headed and never give in to others. They will be constant liars, troublemakers, and will think nothing of immorality. They will be rough and cruel and sneer at those who try to do good. They will betray their friends, and they will be hot-headed, puffed up with pride, and prefer good times to worshiping God. Does that sound like today? Yes, it does, doesn't it? And they will go to church, yes, but they won't really believe anything they hear. Don't be taken in by people like that. There are people sitting in the church today that they hear the word of God, but they don't believe it. But people will follow them. And, you know, this is election year, and I really don't want to get into election stuff. But just because they go to church, and just because they say that they are born again, don't look at what they say. Look at what they do. Look at the things that they do, what their life is like, what they vote on. Check those things out. Because, yes, they will go to church, but they really don't believe anything they hear. It's so easy nowadays to be deceived and to fall away from the faith. I'm reading these scriptures to you today to remind you, just as Paul reminded his people, you know, you have got to know the scriptures. You have got to know what God says. In that same chapter, it says, yes, and those who decide to please Jesus Christ by godly living will suffer at the hands of those who hate him. In fact, evil men and false teachers will become worse and worse, deceiving many, they themselves having been deceived by Satan. But you must keep on believing the things that you have been taught. You know that they are true, and that you know that these things that you have been taught, you can trust. And I want to say to you today that you sit here in this church, and I'm not saying this because I'm preaching today, but because we sit under an apostle, pastor, teacher. And we have been taught well in this church. You receive the uncompromised word of God. And this is very, very important for us. You know, that we have heard these things, we believe them and do them. Because this is what will sustain you in times of trouble. When deception comes, when troubles come, regardless of whether it's the end or it's not the end times, you know, we hear the end is coming, the end is near, you know, the little placard, and we can run up and down the street. And all of that may be true. I don't know. Only God knows. Even Jesus does not know. But, you know, we have been taught the scriptures, and we have been taught to get in this word and read it for yourself and to know it for yourself. And it is so very, very important for us to know the scripture. You know, we can read all the dooms. You know, I've read all the worst scriptures that I could possibly read to you today. All of them are all the doomsday scriptures about how everything's going to fall apart and total chaos and sun's going to turn dark and it's just going to be horrible and people are going to fall away from the faith. But I want you to know that if you will do what you've been taught and what you've learned from the scriptures, you will be safe. You will be fine. You will come through. You will be able to overcome in times of trouble if we'll just remember these scriptures. We know the scriptures and we've been taught so well. Now, we don't want to just receive teaching and never using. And that becomes a problem in some circumstances, in some cases, ever learning and never coming to knowledge. We don't want that. We want to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and use and do what we've learned. It's so important for us to use what we have learned in these scriptures in everyday life, not just for here in church when we come and worship and praise and pray, but we use this scripture for everyday life and everything that we do. Every decision that you make should be made on the Word of God. Everything, every move you make should be based on this Word of God. Now, you know, some are sitting here thinking today, you want my head stuck in that book all of the time? It doesn't have to be if it's in your heart. If you'll stick your head in there on a regular basis, on a regular time, daily, you know, on a regular basis, and you know the scripture, and you have it in your heart, you do not have to have your head stuck in a book 24 hours a day, because you've been taught well here, but you've also been taught to read it for yourself. And that's the one thing I do like about Pastor Gordon and Pastor Debbie. They teach you from the Word of God. They insist that you get it for yourself out of the Word of God. They're not much on growing up babies. They want you to learn. They want you to know, because this is life. This Bible, this book is life to you. It will keep you in times of trouble. And when times do get bad, you will know the scriptures, and they will sustain you, and they will help you. When Jesus said to the disciples, when they bring you to trial, don't worry about what to say. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He will speak through you. The Holy Spirit will do the same for you. You may not come to trial like that, but there may be situations when you don't know what to do. If you have this scripture in your heart, if you know this scripture, it will lead you. And you will know. God will lead you through this. Because there are times, hard times coming. It just appears. If we keep on the course that we're headed right now, there are some hard times coming. There are troubles coming. But God will sustain us. Amen? We've been taught about Yahweh and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been encouraged to know Him for ourselves. To know Him personally. And to have a face-to-face encounter with Him. In 1 Timothy 4:8, in the Living Bible, it says, exercise yourself spiritually. Practice being a better Christian, and it will help now, and it will help in the life to come. You know, a lot of times we get focused on this life and all the trials and the tribulations. We look at this scripture in Mark 13, which is also in Luke and in Matthew. And we focus on those things and we can see these things coming to pass. But you know, if we'll put the rest of the scripture in our heart, it'll help us in this time now, and it'll also help us in the time to come. Because I truly do believe what you don't learn now, you will learn later. I mean, if you make it to heaven, and I'll just, because everybody knows their own heart, but I'm just, when you get to heaven, if you don't know it now, you're going to learn it then. I mean, you know, it's not going to be some nice little bare butt babies flying around with wings and harps and we just sing and play all day. And we're going to be there a long time. So, but if you don't know now, you're going to know it. You will learn. And that's part of even during praise and worship, you know, and one time many years ago, some guy's like, why do we have to keep singing? It takes so long. And I said, boy, you are really going to have a hard time with eternity. and the fact is that you are going to fall on your, because it says every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And that, even if Jesus is your Lord, you are going to worship him here and there in the times now and the times to come. So it's good practice just now to worship God and to praise him, confess him, and confess the word. It's good to do it now because we are going to do it later. Learn it now, because if we don't learn it now, we're going to learn it later. So it's very important for us to do those things. Let's see. And another thing that is very important for us is that we attend church. And in Hebrews chapter 10, let's go there. I want you to see this, because some people think that we just harp about you coming to church, and that's not really true. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Church attendance, come to church. We were talking about this in Sunday school today, about how important it is to have fellowship with one another, because faith comes by hearing. And when you do not hear faith, it slips away very, very quickly. And church attendance is important, and fellowship with believers is very important, because they encourage and lift you up. And it helps you to continue your walk, faith walk. Verse 25, I'm reading from the Living Bible again. It says, let us not neglect our church meeting, as some people do, but encourage and warn others, especially now that the day of his coming again is drawing near. So, you know, there's people say, now Roxanne, people been thinking he's been coming back for hundreds of years. Well, we're hundreds of years closer than we were 100 years ago, because he is going to come back someday. So it's important for us to gather together and encourage one another and lift one another up. And it helps you in your faith walk to be here and to fellowship. It's very, very important to be here and to have that. And because when you are separated, that encouragement that you received will come to remembrance. And maybe it's something that you heard said, and the Holy Spirit will bring it back to remembrance to you to help you and to lead you. Because there are times coming that are hard. And even in Hebrews here, he says, because Jesus is coming back. So don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but get together and encourage one another and support one another. You know, so like the disciples, you know, who lacked understanding and were deceived about money, we too can get off track if we do not hold fast to the things that we've learned. You know, it's very important for us to get in this word and to know what it says. And I know that a lot of times, I mean, we hear other people talking about the end times, but we don't talk a lot. But I have to say, one thing that you do get in this church is you learn how to live. You will learn how to live and live godly life that will sustain you. You will learn that here. And sometimes it seems a little hard, but it'll bring you through the tough times when you need it. So I really encourage you. I'm talking to the choir here today. You're all here, and I appreciate that. But to encourage others to come and to hear what the words, because there are those that are going to go out and deceive and be deceived. And we cannot just take anybody's word for what they say. It's just, there's people say stuff that sounds just like Scripture. Sounds just like, you know, what God would say. And my mother was always really good for these little cliches. Like, cleanliness is next to godliness. Find that in a Scripture. It's not there. So, you know, but it sounds really good now, doesn't it? I mean, and there are other little cliches just like that, you know, but we've got to know the Scripture for ourselves. We've got to know what the Word says for ourselves. Because Jesus said we should take heed that no one deceives, because there will many who come in His name and say that it is He, and will deceive many. And also He says false Christ and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the very elect. But take heed and see what I have told you beforehand. There are those who are going to come and they will deceive and deceive many, because they will appear to be godly. You know, and you know, we can take this Scripture and we can honestly probably say, I hope that everyone here can say for themselves that if someone says Jesus is over here or Jesus is over there, don't follow Him. But not there are people who that will have false teachings about Christ, who will be doing wonders and false signs, show signs and wonders, and many will be deceived, if possible, even the very elect. And we don't want to be in that group. We want to know, we want to be able to say, we have taken heed to the things that Jesus has told us. Take heed to the things that He has shown us, so that we will not be deceived, and that we will not be drawn astray from what He wants. Amen? Amen. Well, we want to stay on guard. We want to be ready. We want to be hold fast to those things that we know, so that we can be a witness. Because I'll tell you, one of the very, very most important thing about you and your walk with Jesus is that you share what you know with someone else. And if you do not know Him, you cannot share Him. You can tell them about Him, but you can't tell them about Him. You know what I mean? You can tell what other people have told you about Jesus, but until you know Him personally, you cannot share the personal relationship with others. And it's so important for us to have that personal, face-to-face relationship with Jesus, because there will come a day, and there will come a time that you are going to face Him face to face. Like I said, either by the grave or by the rapture, you will face Him one day, and you will see Him. And so it's very important for us to have a personal relationship. You know, and I can tell you about buying food for school projects, but I really don't know anything about it. And that's the way it is with a lot of people who don't really know Jesus. They can talk about Him, but they really don't know about Him. You know, I can tell you about certain things in life, but unless I've personally experienced it, I don't know. So I encourage you today, if you do not know Jesus, if you have never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, I encourage you today to make that commitment to Him. To believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and receive Him as your Lord today, and begin your walk with Him. And if you're here today and you have that walk and you have that personal commitment, and maybe you've slipped back a little bit, I encourage you, get back on track, get back with Him, Get back to knowing him. It is of utmost importance nowadays. And share your faith with others, because time is running out. People need to know about Jesus. And I'll tell you, who better than you to tell them about Jesus? And you know, it's not a hard thing to tell about Jesus. Just tell them what Jesus did for you. Tell them how much Jesus loves them, how Jesus loved you and brought you in. You know, because if they're only getting half truths, they're going to be deceived by just about everything that comes down the track. So we want to make sure that people hear the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Let's stand up. People need to know Jesus. And honestly, that's not the pastor's job. It's our job. It's our job to share the gospel. I mean, it's good to have a pastor who knows Jesus, because I think there's probably some that don't. But it's good to have a pastor who does know Jesus. And he has a great love for him. But you are, each one of us have opportunity every week to share a kindness or a word or our faith. God is doing wonderful things. Amen. I'm just so happy, so proud to know Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are with us, that you lead us and you guide us. We thank you, Father, that your great love for us was that you sent your Son, that none would perish, but that all would come to eternal life. And we thank you for that great love that you gave to us, and that you have drawn us to you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you and we worship you today. And we just thank you again for all that you're doing in this place and the provision that you make, and that what you're doing through Gordon and Debbie and Haiti and Pastor Bavall. And we thank you, Lord, what you're doing through each one of us. Help us, Lord, this week. Give us wisdom. Give us courage and strength. Let's be bold as lions with our faith. Bold and powerful to share the gospel, because we don't want anyone to go to hell, Lord God. Father, our desire is your desire, that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for your word, that during these times of great stress and trouble, that we can rely on your word, for we know it's true, and that you are faithful to your word, to perform your word. We praise you and we thank you for that. We give you praise and glory. I just ask, Father, I pray for a blessing upon everybody here. Lord God, I pray for everyone that you would bless them this week with health and healing, that you would cause them to be prosperous in everything that they do this week. I pray for them to have a blessing in everywhere they go, that they not only will be a blessing, but they will be blessed, that they will be able to declare that God is good. Great is our God. And I thank you for that blessing. I just ask everybody here, Father God, that you would just touch them in a special way today and this week. We give you all the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all.